Well, I have a personal question to ask you. How many of you miss Downton Abbey? I mean, don't be embarrassed. Yeah, I loved Downton Abbey. It was my favorite show. I was devastated when they ended it. Joyce can tell you, I don't get into a lot of TV shows, but I just loved Downton Abbey, everything about it. In case you were not a fan, it was a PBS show. It's the story of a British aristocratic family, the Granthams and the Crawleys, who were hanging on to a vanishing way of life in the early part of the 20th century. The world around them was changing, but they continued to live in their grand estate, surrounded by servants, shielded by luxuries, acting as if nothing had changed. They were privileged. They were special. They were British nobility and aristocracy. They were a chosen race, and they knew it. Downton Abbey was their ancestral home, and they would go to any lengths to preserve it. Many of you have been struggling through the book of 1 Peter this month of August in Sunday school. And you recall that Peter says, you are special. You are privileged. You are a chosen race. But unlike Downton Abbey, the Granthams and the Crawleys, who were hanging on to their ancestral home, Peter says, this world is not your home. You're just a passing through. In this scripture that Don read from the 11th verse of the second chapter, he says we are immigrants, refugees, strangers, aliens, exiles. The translation I like the best is that we are resident aliens. We're special, we're chosen, we're gifted, but this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. You remember the old gospel song? It was made popular by Jim Reeves, the country singer and writer. When I started working on this a few weeks ago, that song came to my mind. I could not get it out of my head. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I don't feel at home in this world anymore. I guess it's an Alabama thing. But I talked to Paul about it, and I talked to Harvey about it. Harvey was going to sing it by himself, and then lo and behold, this week, was it Wednesday, Paul called me up and said, you're not going to believe what I just found going through the historical archives of the musical library. Ladies and gentlemen, by popular demand of the preacher, the choir is about to sing, This World Is Not My Home.
Oh,
Orleans, it has special, and in some, it has anthem. They sang an anthem earlier, but that was a special. Or in Alabama, that was a special. Thank you so much. So is this what Peter was talking about? Well, not exactly. Yes, he was, but no, he wasn't. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? Heaven is our home, but he is not saying that we are to be removed from this world. He is saying that we are on mission within this world. We are not to be separate from the world, but we are to be holy, unique in the way that we live within the world. We are not to take flight from the world. We're called to be the light of the world. Some of my fellow Southeastern alums, and Megan, we have a good number of alumni from Southeastern Seminary in this congregation. We all went before the war. But how many of you remember Dr. Carol Trotter? Bruce, I know you do. I love Dr. Trotter. Connie, you remember him. Dr. Trotter was our preaching professor. And I had a special connection with Dr. Trotter because he had been a pastor in L.A., Lower Alabama. In fact, he was my great-grandmother's pastor. And because of that, we really had a close connection because he knew my family. I remember one of the most memorable sermons that I ever heard in chapel while I was in seminary was delivered by Dr. Trotter. It was early in the fall semester, and he had been down to Birmingham to clean out his parents' home. His father had died a few years before. His mother had died recently. And he went to clean out his mother's house. And I will always remember that sermon, even though it was 40 years ago, because he kept saying that house was full of stuff. A lot of stuff. He said, it reminded me of my mom and dad, but it wasn't my mother and father. In many ways, it represented my parents, but that house was not their home. They just were passing through. I thought about that sermon a lot this past week because, as some of you know, Joyce and I spent this past week in Alabama cleaning out my mother's house. My mother had lived in that house on East Main Street since 1958. Almost 60 years in one house. And let me tell you, there was a lot of stuff. Isn't that right, honey? A lot of stuff. And we had to go through it, deciding what we're going to keep, what we're going to throw away, what we're going to give away. So many of you have been there. You know exactly what I am talking about. So many things belonged to, all of that belonged to my mother. So many things represented her. So many things were just like her. But they cannot take her place. My mother's not in that house anymore. That was my home growing up, but I just was passing through. That was her home for almost 60 years, but she's now in a nursing home. And if you read my newspaper article a week ago, she is slipping away from us as she suffers from dementia and Alzheimer's. And I realized as we went through her stuff, through all of those things in her house, that it was just a house. That it was no longer my home or her home. We just were passing through. When we allow our possessions to define us, when we allow culture, when we allow an institution to define us and control us, we lose our power to transform the world. We are merely a part of this world. Like Downton Abbey, the world around us is changing. But we must understand that we are pilgrims, that we are resident aliens, that this world is not our home, we're just a passing through. And as we do, we're on a mission. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are to transform the world in which we live. In your Sunday school lessons, there was a quote by Dr. Martin Luther King. He said there was a time when the church was very powerful. In those days, he said, the church was not merely a thermometer that recorded the ideas and principles of popular opinion. But the church was a thermostat that transformed the mores of society. They went on the conviction that they were a colony from heaven. They were to obey God rather than men. This world was not their home. They were just a passing through. We are not here to reflect the culture in which we live, but we're here to redeem it. We're not here to conform to society. We are here to challenge society. We're not here to satisfy the world. We are the salt of the world. We're not here to live only for the heavenly kingdom, even though the angels beckon us from heaven's open door, but we are to work for the coming of God's kingdom on this earth as it is in heaven. We all know, we're painfully aware of the fact that we live in a world in which selfishness, hatred, bigotry, intolerance, racism, violence are all too common. I thought we left racism and injustice behind in the 1960s. I remember as a little boy riding my bicycle down Main Street. There was a big rally going on at the depot. There were a lot of people, a lot of stuff. There was bands. There was a platform. And there was a little man standing on that platform. And as a little boy, I heard that little man say, "Segregation yesterday. Segregation today, segregation forever." And George C. Wallace was elected governor of the state of Alabama. And I want to tell you what I remember when I was down there and I heard him shouting those words. I looked around me at all of the people that I went to church with, neighbors, people that I knew through school, and I saw them becoming different people. I saw anger. I saw hatred. I saw intolerance, and it scared me as a little boy. I'm thankful that I lived long enough to see George C. Wallace repent and ask forgiveness for those words. But I thought we overcame that in the 60s, but I was wrong. I thought we overcame intolerance and bigotry in the 1990s, but I was wrong. I thought that after September the 11th, 2001, we understood that hatred can only lead to violence and destruction. But I was wrong. Here we are in August of 2017, and we're dealing with the reality of racism, intolerance, and hatred and bigotry as if it was 1917. And we point our fingers at Washington and Raleigh, asking, where is the moral leadership? I expect our leaders to provide moral leadership. I expect our leaders to denounce every form of hatred and intolerance and bigotry, and I'm disappointed when they don't. That's not my primary concern. The moral compass of this nation should not be found in Washington and Raleigh, but the moral compass of this nation should be found right here in the Church of Jesus Christ. As an ambassador of Christ, knowing that this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through, I'm just on a mission, I am a representative of the kingdom of God. And I have a sacred responsibility to stand up for justice, to speak up for truth, to walk in the path of love, to heal the sick, to lift up the brokenhearted, to feed the hungry, to love the unlovable, and to repudiate acts of hatred and violence against any of God's children. I am an ambassador for Christ. And as people of God and disciples of Jesus Christ, we believe that we're all part of the human family, that every person is a child of God, created in the image of God, and a person of worth, regardless of race, religion, culture, language. Everyone is special. And there is not a single group of people, there is not a single race of people, there is not a category of people that is superior in any manner than any other people. We're called to love one another as Jesus loved us. We're called to turn the other cheek, to forgive our enemies, to pray for those who persecute us. Jesus set the example of humility and grace. It is not our responsibility to judge anyone, to condemn others, or to be condescending to others, but we're on a mission. We're on a mission to share God's love and to be examples of God's grace. And we choose the path of love, as you studied in Sunday school this morning, because that is the way of God. And so when the world exhibits hatred, let us show love. When the world excludes others, let us open our arms to include everyone. When the world turns to violence, let us turn the other cheek to seek peace. When the world screams for revenge, let us work for redemption. When the world judges some, let us seek justice for all. When the world condemns others as inferior, let us hold the conviction that every person is a child of God and a person of divine worth. When the world acts out of malice, let us act out of mercy. When the world becomes a bully, let us become a brother. When the world hurts, let us heal. And when the world follows the devil, we are to follow Jesus. Among the stuff that we found in my mother's house, I found an old manuscript. I can remember as a little boy, I was probably 6 or 7 years old, and every year our church had a men's Sunday, a layman's Sunday. And I remember one Sunday that my daddy was the speaker. And I remember it because he embarrassed me, which daddies can do. Because he told a story about, we had gone to Birmingham and I got lost, and he told a story about how they found me. And I remember after the service, everybody was come up telling my daddy what a good job he did. And I said, Daddy, I can't believe you did that. I was just totally embarrassed. I found the manuscript of that. It's not a speech, it's a sermon. And it's a lot longer than mine. This thing is 16 pages. Handwritten, single space. Handwritten in pencil and longhand on notebook paper. And of course, you know what I looked for. And I found it on page 14. This is what he said. This past summer, we went to Birmingham for a few days of vacation. While we were there, we carried the children out to the amusement park, Paul's Kitty Land. In my mind, I thought we'd gone to the state fair, but I found it as Paul's Kitty Land. My daddy wrote, "I think we must have ridden every ride there at least once." Then we started back to our car to leave. I can't read his writing. But then he said, on the way to the car, "Buddy," and then he adds, "That's Ray the Third, our oldest son. I call him Buddy." I was always Buddy or Buddy Boy. You didn't hear that. He was so engrossed in the exhilarating things to see around him that he neglected to watch where we were going, and we in turn neglected to watch him. The first thing we knew, Buddy wasn't there. At once we began to search, each going in a different direction. We were all mightily worried for a few minutes. But Nancy, my sister, found him and brought him back to us. How glad we were to see him and for him to see us. I can't describe to you the joy. We were all tremendously happy. And then he talks about the prodigal son. And he says, just as we, the earthly parents, were so happy to find our son, how much more happy God is when someone strays away and he comes back home. I think the sentence that really stands out to me is, I was so engrossed in all of the interesting and exhilarating things around me that I neglected to see where they were going, and I got lost. How easy it is in this world to become engrossed with everything around us, with the culture in which we live. And before you know it, we're lost and we lose our power to transform the world. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Dear God, help us to turn away from everything that distracts us from our mission, a mission of righteousness and justice, of love and peace. Give us eyes that are open to the needs around us. Give us hearts to respond. And if we have strayed away, we know we have a loving God who stands with open arms to receive us. May we make the decision to follow Jesus each and every day. Amen.